All right, praise the Lord.
If this is going to even pick up on the internet, but we'll give it a try. Well, praise God, the word's good. If you have your Bibles, you can open them to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew 7. Let's pray. Father, we do love you so much. We're just so thankful for your word this morning. Lord, it's what's going to help us. It's what's going to bring us our change. It's what's going to bring us our help. Father, we thank you. We go from glory to glory. Father, we thank you that, Lord, you're going to speak a word to us in season for our lives this morning. Father, I thank you that whatever we need, we're going to get it. Father, whatever people need to hear, they're going to hear it. And Father, I thank you you're going to speak to hearts today. You're going to hit bullseyes of what people are going through and what people need to hear from you, Father. And we'll make sure to give you the glory and give you the praise for everything said and everything done here today. Father, it's only because of you, Father, that we prosper, that we're healthy. Father, that we have such a good future to look forward to. And so, Father, thank you for speaking to us here today in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, Matthew 7, you know, I like to encourage people and I like to lift people up and I like people to be blessed, and I love to see the sheep prosper and flourish in life. And so I thought to start the service today, I'm going to start, you know, words have power.
Amen.
And I thought this morning to start the service, I'd start with some very encouraging and uplifting words for you today, okay? So just pay attention to these words. Idiot, blockhead, dunce, ignoramus, imbecile. Aren't you edified? This is great. Simpleton, one of my favorites here, moron. Nitwit, halfwit, dope, nincompoop, chump, dimwit, dingbat, dipstick, goober, coot, goon, dumbo, dummy, dum-dum, numbskull, thickhead, airhead, flake, lame brain, pea brain, bird brain, twit, dork, schmuck, bozo, dumbhead, doofus, putz, sap. Feels good. Aren't you glad you came to church today? What the heck is he doing? He's lost his mind. These are all synonyms. Now, synonym means a word that means exactly or nearly the same as another word. Every word that I just said is a synonym of a word we're going to talk about today. And a synonym is, again, not a synonym. A synonym is a word that means exactly or nearly the same as another word. Those are all synonyms of the word fool. Oh, let's look at Matthew 7 and verse 24. Why? Now, maybe you're wondering, the next big thing is, okay, who in the church was he talking about? Well, to be truthful, all of us at some time, including the pastor, all of us in the body of Christ have fit in to those words. Now, before you get mad at me and say, I'm never coming back again, he called me a nincompoop today. A half-wit, a numbskull. I like that one, numbskull. He called me those things. I didn't call you that. The Bible did. But let's make sure that we're not that. Amen?
Amen?
Matthew 7 and verse 24. Therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine, or the word of God, and does them, I will liken him unto a wise man which built his house upon a rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon that house. Notice, though, it fell not, for it was founded upon the rock. What? The doing of the word. Verse 26, and everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a foolish man which built his house on the sand. And the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew, beat upon the house, and it fell, and great was the fall. Now go back to verse 26. Everyone that hears these sayings of mine and does them not shall be likened unto a fool. The Bible gives us the definition of a fool. Somebody that hears the word of God and doesn't do what they hear. The Bible says you are all of those words that I said to you in the beginning of service that kind of made us laugh. We're wondering what the heck's he talking about. When we hear the word of God in anything and choose not to do it, we can put ourselves in those categories. But this is what I want you to see, is that the storms came to both houses.
Right.
The same wind, The same storm beat upon that house, but one stood and one didn't. And the only difference to one standing and one falling was the one that did the word of God.
Amen.
You see, the doer of the word will get the same tests, the same trials. People think, Pastor, you just must have it real, real good. No. A lot of times the problems and trials can be magnified being at the head of something.
Yes.
And they say, well, you must just have it so easy, you know, the doing of the word. No, I get the same storms, the same wind, the same pressure, the same fire comes against me. I have to pay bills. I have to believe God for my health. I have to believe God for the protection of my children. I have to walk in love. I have to use faith the same way that you have to do all those things. The storms will come, but the determining factor of whether or not your house stands, talking about your life, everything about your house, what's included in your house, the protection, the health, the wealth, the blessing, the peace, the joy. The determining factor is not God. It's what you do with God's word. He has given you the roadmap. He has given you the GPS that leads only to blessing. It only leads to prosperity. It only leads to health. It only leads to joy and victory and all these wonderful things. And the GPS is the word of God. Anything you're facing is in here. Anything at all. You're going through financial troubles, this will tell you how to get it out. How to get out. You're going through relationship problems, this will tell you how to get out of it. You're going through physical problems, this will tell you. You have fear, worry, concern for protection in your children. This will tell you how to do it. The determining factor, whether you stand or not, is the word. And wasn't it interesting that the Bible says in verse 27, and great was the fall of it. The one that heard the word and did not do it, when the storms came, not only did they crumble, but the Bible makes sure to point out, and great was the crumble. And I was meditating on that, and it seems that it's actually worse for somebody to have heard the word and not do it than to not have heard the word at all. That lines up with the Bible, because the Bible's saying here, the one that hears it and doesn't do it, it doesn't even mention the person that doesn't hear it at all. The person that doesn't hear it all is actually better off than the person that hears it and doesn't do the word. Because when you hear the word and don't do it, you have now become responsible. You have come up to light. And you are now required to do something with that light. Ignorance will hurt you, but not as much as knowing something and not doing it. In fact, we have scripture on that. I'm going to go there in 2 Peter, verse 2, I believe it is. I'm going to show you this. And you say, well, then I'd rather not know anything. No, see, because when you do the word, the blessing far exceeds anything that you could have ever had without hearing the word. So don't chalk it up as, well, I'd rather not hear the word. No, just be a doer of what you hear. Second Peter, let's see, I'm going to show you this principle. Second Peter, chapter 2 and verse 20. 2 Peter 2 and verse 20. I want to show you this, that by hearing the word, you become responsible. And when you don't, and those storms come, and you don't have a rock to stand on, not only are you going down, you're going down hard.
Right. That's right.
For if after, verse 20, they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome. Notice this, the latter end is worse with them than what the beginning was. The beginning when? When they didn't know anything. Verse 21, for it would have been better for them to not know the way of righteousness than after they have known it to turn from the holy commandment or the word delivered unto them. Brother Hagin used to say, it is dangerous for people to come up to light and walk away.
Yeah.
I've seen it.
Yeah.
I have seen it with my own eyes. I won't say names. There was a, the Bible uses the Old Testament people for examples. So we won't do the same things they did. There was a building project in the Jamestown Church years ago that we were a part of when I was there. And when a pastor goes to do something, how many of you know I'm the one that's going to have to stand before Jesus and give account for this place, not you?
Right.
You'll have to for your own life and your own things that you're responsible for. And so the decisions I make, they're important I make the right ones because they affect lives. Well, when Pastor Tim went to do the building program, of course, it rises and falls on who he decides to build that building.
Sure.
It's not a board, not up to a board vote to, or the church's vote. God doesn't speak the plan of God for a church to the people. He speaks it to the shepherd.
Yeah.
The shepherd's the overseer. So you'd be foolish for me to come in and start running your house or come in and start running your business. No, you tell me, get the heck out of here.
Yeah.
Right?
That's good.
And that's how foolish it is for people to run churches, but it happens all over the place and it's a mess. But anyways, he had someone on his heart. The Lord put on his heart. Well, J. Ecker Construction, the people did this. Put it on his heart that I want him to build that building. And when you get that word from God, you don't need to go through about 20 different contractors. Saves you the time. The Holy Ghost will save you. It's like with dating. You don't have to go through 20, 30 different people to find the right one when you got the Holy Ghost. It's a waste of time. I know that's unpopular because that's the way the world does it. When you got the Holy Ghost, he'll guide you and direct you to every single thing. You don't have to go through the heartaches of dating up and down. You don't have to. Get the Holy Ghost. He'll lead you to the right one. If you're patient. Hallelujah. And so he got it at his heart to do that. Well, there was a person in the church who had been there for years, had seen miracles happen to them, come up to light. They came out of a religious dead church. They came up to light, Holy Ghost teaching, faith teaching, Word of God teaching, started getting blessed financially, started being blessed physically. I mean, testified miracles that people saw. Well, this person was part of a construction company. And Pastor Tim, he thought Pastor Tim ought to throw him a bone because he's part of the congregation. Listen. That's bringing business into the church and having a money mindset.
Right.
If you have a business, you shouldn't expect just because they go to my church, they should come here. If they don't, I'm going to treat them bad. That's wrong.
Yeah.
You're in church for the wrong reasons.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah,
right.
You're not here to make money off people.
Right.
Now, praise God if it happens.
Yeah.
If people want to come to you because you're part of the church and they see how wonderful, glory to God for that.
Right.
Yeah.
But if that's your main reason to come to church and you know, pass things, thank God we've never had anybody do that. You know, pass out your business cards and pass out your hours. No, that stuff don't fly here. You're not going to use the church for your personal gain.
Right.
Now, if God will bless you through the church, absolutely. That's fine. That's no problem with that. But they thought Pastor Tim ought to throw him a bone and give their construction company. Why? Money on his mind.
There you go. Come on.
And Pastor Tim didn't. And they left the church because of that.
Wow.
The wife, ends up in a mental institution. I visit her. Because for months she's telling the husband she's paying the bills and really she's out at the casino spending all the money, ends up in a mental institution, loses her mind after she leaves church, and the guy ends up with cancer after they left church. I've seen it over and over. People walk away from where they're supposed to be over dumb reasons.
Yeah.
But I've also seen people walk away, come back, and start to get blessed.
Yeah.
God's merciful.
Yeah.
God's merciful. The point of the whole thing is what I'm saying. It's dangerous to hear the word and not do it.
Yeah.
It's dangerous to hear the word and not do it. Why? God's word is only to steer you to the right things.
Yeah,
God's word is only to steer you to blessings. Yes, it might challenge you. Yes, it might test you. Yes, you might have to put your flesh under. Yes, you might have to renew your mind. But God's not doing it for the purpose to make your life miserable. Jesus said, my commandments are not grievous.
Right.
They're not hard. Because everything, see, Caleb is learning, I can trust what Daddy says because Daddy will never lead me into wrong. When Daddy tells me to do something that I don't fully understand or I'm not quite sure of, or maybe I've never experienced before, we're starting to build that as time goes on and he gets older and more understanding and learning more about me, that I can do whatever Daddy tells me to do because he would never hurt me. He would never lead me into bad. And that's your father. He'll never lead you into bad. And so the Bible says that if you hear the word of God and don't do it, that your house will fall when the storms come. You won't have anything to stand on. You know, I remember Pastor Nancy Dufresne talking about going to the doctor. And I don't remember what exactly it was. We'll just say for the sake of whatever, it was high cholesterol. I don't think that's what it was, but I'm just doing something that's you can put a number on and that's measurable. And the doctor told her what to do, and 6 months later she came back and it was completely fixed. And the doctor was surprised. He said, what did you do? And then she was surprised, like, why are you surprised? I just did what you told me. That was what was surprising.
Right. Yeah.
Is that she actually did what the doctor said, the professional.
Yeah.
How ridiculous would it be to have a head mechanic come to your house from a NASCAR team, a NASCAR pit crew of a championship team, and you're having car problems, and they're telling you what to do, and you're standing there saying, nope, nope, that's stupid.
Right.
Or a head chef that's on the Food Network that has world-renowned restaurants, and they could tell you all these things, and you're telling them, "Boy, I'm just missing this one ingredient." They say, "I know what that is. It's that." You say, "No, it's not. No, it's not. What do you know? You're just a head chef who's won awards all over the place." You know, speaking of a business in the church, you know, Dr. Katie has a veterinary practice on her own, and we bring our dogs there, and she's wonderful with our dogs. And it was funny, when I went to pick Willow up, she got spayed. And I picked her up a little bit earlier because I had something in my schedule, and Dr. Katie gave me some real specific instructions of what to do, you know, with her to make sure that she's going to, you know, be okay with taking her home like that. And she's like, "Now you make sure you do this." And I'm like, "Oh, you're the pro. I wouldn't even think." And she's like, "Yeah, but you'd be surprised." I said, "I know. Join the club. I get it. I know. That's exactly what pastor will tell people what to do." And all it's like, why would we even think of not doing the word? He's God. He knows everything. He knows exactly how to bless you. He knows exactly what's right for you. Glory to God. Praise God. You do know this, don't you? Let's just look there. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. Now again, don't throw the tomatoes at me. Throw them at God. 1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13. I want to show you something. You know, your pastor is not meant to lord over your life. You do know that, right? But it is my job to speak into your life the word of God.
Right.
It's not to run everything you do and the hobbies and the recreation and things you like to do for fun and how many hours of TV. It's not. My job's not to do that. My job is to tell you what the word of God says.
Amen.
But you know, a lot of times people don't look at their pastors any more than just a mere guy.
Sure.
I had one person, this was a little while ago, the Lord specifically spoke to me by inspiration of the Holy Ghost. He said, if that person doesn't start looking at you as their pastor, and he brought me to Matthew 7:24 in this verse here. He said, their life's going to go downhill, and there's going to be fallout for years because of this. Told me this, and it's coming to pass. He said, they don't see you as their pastor. Well, let me just show you what this verse says here.
1 Thessalonians 2 and verse 13, Paul said this, he said, "For this cause also we thank God without ceasing. Because when we received the word of God, which you heard of us," so Paul's preaching the word to them, right? He says, "You received it not as the words of men, but as truth, the word of God, which effectually also worketh in you that believe." If you don't start, when your pastor gives you advice, any advice I give you is always going to be backed up by Bible.
Right.
But if you look at that, that's just 35-year-old young pastor might tell me that. No, when I'm speaking the word of God to you, it's as good as God talking to you. Me being up here right now and telling you the Bible is just as good as Jesus Christ himself doing it.
Yeah, right.
That sounds cool or is exciting, but it's the same. It's the same. You see, the people that, when you are thrilled with the word is when it'll work for you. That's what Brother Hagin used to say. When people get thrilled, when you come here saying, "I'm hearing from my man of God today. He's going to speak to me as if God Almighty stand there." Why do you think I pray that I would speak as the oracles of God? Not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but a demonstration of him. I just want to be a vessel that he flows through today. But when you don't receive it that way, that's going to help. You won't be a doer of the word. Well, you know, I sit down. It's amazing. It's amazing.
Come on.
They're not with me anymore. They got mad at me. Join the club, right? And every week they put on their blue cards, money problems. Every week. Three separate times I had them in my office, sat them across from me. I said, "Are you tithing?" The third time I said, "No, you're not, because I've checked." Now, see, I don't like to look at what people give, but if I have to, I will. For people, for to love people. And so, what's going on here? It was like they had been in church in like 7 weeks, and I went back and looked at what they gave. They gave $10 in 7 weeks. I'm thinking, okay, that means that $10 tithe would be $100. That means they had $100. You know, I'm just doing this in my head. That means they lived off $100 in 7 weeks. Wow, that's a miracle if you can do that.
Right.
$100 in 7 weeks. They have a car, they have a house, they have bills in them. I'm thinking, somebody needs to teach me how to live off $100 because you only tithe $10. I'm only assuming.
Sure. Right.
But then I get them across. Are you tithing?
Sure.
No. Three times ahead of me, are you tithing? No.
Come on.
I can't help you with your finances until you start listening to the Bible.
Yeah,
and they got that sick of hearing it and they left. It's amazing to me.
Yeah.
The people that complain the most about, you know, people say, "Well, I haven't had one person tell me, you preach too much on faith." No, I'm just going off the notes here. Just follow my spirit. You preach too much on faith. There's no such thing.
Right. Yeah, that's right.
And it was coming from somebody who's broke as can be, sick all the time, depressed, full of anxiety, worry, and nothing along with me. They got mad at me as well for telling them.
True. Come on.
And they're telling me I preach so much on faith, I'm thinking, I need to preach faith to you double time.
Yes.
You need to hear the message of faith triple time with what your life looks like. And that wasn't me being judgmental. I'm just responding to what they're saying to me. You're teaching too much faith. It's amazing. The people that will complain about the faith message, the people that will complain about the tithing message, they're in the worst position of all.
Yeah.
I'm telling you. The people that get mad at me about the tithing message are the ones that are struggling the most financially.
Yeah.
Duh.
Yeah.
2 + 2 = 4.
Right. Come on.
Right?
Yeah.
Add it up here. Glory to God. I don't know why I said all that, but it's good anyways. James chapter 1 and verse 25. You all know what God's speaking to you and what he's told you in the Word. Now, again, I do my best to not ever look at the money. Most of you, I don't even have a clue of what you've given or if you've ever given or anything. I don't want to know anything about it. And even if I did look, I wouldn't know how much you make. I don't ask you for, well, put down there what you make to see if you're really giving a tithe or not. That's between you and God.
Yeah.
Right.
But when people are struggling financially over and over and over and over and over again, I'm going to get to the bottom of it. You know, there's nothing that says I can't look at it. Glory to God.
How many
of you know a CEO of a company looks at their financial reports?
Yeah.
I just don't like to do it because I don't want to muddy the waters.
Right.
You know, I want to love everybody equally.
Right.
I want to love the one that's the cheapest to the most generous. I want to love them the same. So I try not to get involved with that. But if I have to, I will. James 1 and verse 21 says, "Wherefore lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word." The word which is able to save your souls.
Praise God.
Not talking about your spirit being born again. This is already written to born again people.
Right.
You see, you'll never be blessed till your mind is right.
Yeah.
Because if you think right, you'll believe right. If you believe right, you'll speak right. If you speak right, you'll have right. So it's saying the word will save your souls. That
That's
soul
right.
is the mind, the will, and the emotion of a person. The word will come in and change it to the word of God. Then you'll start believing the word of God and having what the word of God says. So the Bible says the word can save your souls, which can save every area of your life. But look what it says in verse 22. But, don't you love when he throws the big old rump ski in there, the big old but? But, be doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass, before he beholds or looks at himself, goes his way and straightway forgets what manner of man he was. Verse 25. But whoso looks into the perfect law of liberty, the word of God, continues therein. Everybody say continues.
Continue.
Doesn't quit on God.
That's right.
Oh, I didn't see it after 3 weeks. Well, then come back for four.
Yeah.
I didn't see it for four. Come back for five.
Yeah.
Bible says they that endure to the end will be saved.
Yeah.
That's what it says. In everything in life. You don't know how many times, well, it's happened to me. Think about when you're going through a test or trial, and you've seen that thing work out for you. When was the most pressure in the whole thing was right before it worked out for you.
Yeah,
a lot of times,
right. Yeah.
At the place where you're just about to quit and walk away from it.
That's, right.
That's
when it gets the hardest.
Yeah.
But if you would have walked away, you wouldn't have seen what you saw happen.
Right.
So many people, they're continuing, and it gets hotter and harder, and the devil's turning up the furnace 7 times hotter on you, and you just can't take the heat, so you get out of the kitchen, and you were so close.
Yeah.
Continue with the word. Continue with the word.
Word.
He that doesn't faint will reap. Glory to God. He says, continues therein and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed.
Amen.
Coming to church is wonderful, and I love seeing your face. I love fellowshipping with you. Love hugging on you and telling you how good it is to see you. But just sitting here and hearing the word is only part of it.
Right.
Doing the word.
That's right.
You say, well, there's a lot to do in this word. I know.
Sure.
But we gather every week, sometimes twice a week, where you get a chance to learn something new and to be a doer of it. To look at your life and say, you know what? He's talking about tithing every week. I'm not tithing. I need to be a doer of the Bible. That's the only way I'm going to be blessed.
Right.
He's talking about walking in love today. I can think of a million examples how I'm not walking in love. I need to walk in love today, right? All these different things.
Yeah.
He's talking about saying today. I'm not saying anything over my finances. Okay, I'm going to start being a doer of the word. It's so simple.
Yeah.
Don't let the devil lie to you and say you can't do this, that this book is so big and large. Just take what you get every week and build upon it.
What if you just took everything you learned once a week for a whole year and did that? You know how much better you'd be in a year? Small steps equal big victories.
Good.
They do. Small steps equal big victories.
Hallelujah.
So the blessing is in the doing. But see, the doing of the word is the faith part. Actually trusting God enough that what he says is for your benefit, right?
Yeah.
Because he'll say something to you, and you say, why do you always bring up tithing? Because money is an indicator of the heart, and money is something you will deal with every single day, and money is the one subject that is so touchy for people. That's what I talk about. And it's something that we can measurably see. You're either doing it or you're not doing it.
That's right.
But why do people that can sit in a service like that person I was talking about and be with me for years and hear me every Sunday talk about tithing, hear me on the midweeks talk about it, hear me have special, sometimes we've had two or three series on money, can hear me preach a whole series about it, and can still, after 2 years, can still not be a doer of that word? How is that possible? It's because they don't trust God.
Yeah,
they
right.
don't trust God because
right.
if you take it for face value of what he says will happen to you by being generous, everybody would sign up for that.
Sure.
Because it's only promising you increase. It's only promising
yeah.
you overflow.
Yeah.
It's only promising you more.
Right.
God,
right.
it's not like we're even trying to get over the fact of just trying to talk you into doing it just because it says to do it.
Yeah.
Right.
It's not like God saying, just do this, and we got to get the pastor's got to get the people to the place of just doing it just because. No, God says, if you take him for face value, God says, if you do it, your life will be better than it ever has been before.
That's right. Amen.
But why don't people do it? They're afraid.
Yeah.
Sure. That's right.
It's lack of faith.
That's right.
It's lack of trust in God. You don't believe that if I actually part ways with this 10%, and now he's telling me today that even if I tithe $100,000 on $1,000,000, I'm just like the person that tithe the penny on.
Yeah.
You are. You're the same.
That's right.
The
yeah.
giving above that is where the generosity
yeah.
comes in. And now he's telling me to be generous. No, I'm not what the Bible is.
Amen.
Yes, I am telling you that.
Right.
And if you'll do that, you'll get what the word says.
Good.
Glory to
good
God.
Word.
It's true.
Yeah.
I'm not walking around too much. I'm trying to stick to this microphone here, but it's kind of hard. I'm a mover and a shaker, you know? And but anyways, 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. And if it don't record on live stream, well, I'll have to look at a different service. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. I don't want to see your life fall. I don't want to see your life crash. I don't want to see the storms. The storms are going to come.
That's right.
They just are. I don't want to see it take you out.
Yeah, that's right.
There's nothing more sad and nothing more, unnecessary. Than a Christian who's living defeated.
Right.
Yeah.
It doesn't make sense.
Right.
It shouldn't
right.
happen.
Yeah, that's, right.
That's not what God put in you. He put a DNA victory in you.
Amen.
He put blessing in you.
Praise
he
God.
Put prosperity in you.
Yes.
He put health into you. And there's nothing more unnecessary than the Christian that struggles and struggles. Now, we're not talking about the tests that come. You got to use
right.
your faith and seasons of opposition. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about a lifestyle of struggling. A lifestyle of never having enough. A lifestyle of always having a crisis. A lifestyle of always struggling. I'm not talking about the tests that come. I'm talking about a consistent place of being in defeat, is what I'm saying. It's unnecessary. I want to see everybody brought to the place. I want to see 100% tithing success in our church. I want to see Wednesday night services just as full. I know the Bible says that only one out of four people get it, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to push that and push that as hard as I can. I want to see a full house. I want to see people actually trusting the pastor enough that when he says, go to a guest minister meeting, go there, be there as much as you can, that people will hear me and say, he's telling me that the word says I need it, and actually go and avail himself. That wow, I'm giving up a whole week of my life. I want to see, I'm going to push it and preach it until we're all better.
Yeah.
Why? I'm going to try to just soak and get every, wring every little inch of blessing out of your life.
Good.
Amen.
Amen.
That's good. Praise God.
Are you glad you came all week, Tori? She came
up
to me crying the last night.
Praise God.
Is that your son?
My husband's son. Yeah.
Got born again.
Amen.
Gave his heart back to Jesus.
God.
There all week long.
Yeah. Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord.
We had some other people attending those. I'm so appreciative. So good to see the church there on Wednesday night.
Yeah,
glory to God. And if you didn't come, there's next time.
Yeah.
There's next time. But those types of things that the Bible says. The Bible says you need apostles, prophets, pastors, evangelists, and teachers to make you better. I'm only one of them.
Yeah.
And so when these other people come in, you trust the Bible enough that it's worth going to.
Yeah.
That I'll give up a night. I'll drive. I'll miss my TV show. I'll go to bed later. But I trust you, God. I trust you, God. You know, I didn't get any stipend for anybody in my church coming. Most of the people don't even know people from South Dayton that are in. But I know how blessed you'll be because you did the work.
Praise God.
If I could jump into the apostles' office and the evangelist's office and the teacher's office and the apostles' office, if I could jump into those on a Sunday and give you all of my wood, but I can't.
Right.
You know, getting to the place where people are 100 are coming to the meeting, are coming to the Wednesday night services, are coming to church faithfully, making church a center of their life, 100% tithing. You know, that's unheard of. 100% tithing, we're going for.
Amen.
We're going for. I want to see everybody blessed. Yeah. I'm not happy with 80% of the people doing the word of God because I know what it says. But the reason is people do not trust him.
Yeah,
2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. Praise God. And for those of you, other people that came up to those services, of course, I don't have time to mention everybody. I just was thinking the benefit. She came and her husband's son getting born again and giving his heart to giving it back to Jesus.
Yeah.
And I saw the tears and hugged her and just the things that she got and spoke to me that she got from those meetings.
Yeah.
It's not convenient to do that stuff. I mean, I think about people, I do have a life too and have some fun. I have things I like to do and I put those things on hold. Why? Because I trust him.
Yeah.
Trust him.
Yeah.
It's not easy to drive to Fredonia every night and get to take a shower and leave my kids and to be away from my family.
Yeah.
It's not easy to go there and go to bed late. I have a million and one things to do right now, but I trust him.
Yeah.
Trust him. Why? I want to get everything out of him.
Yeah.
Glory to God. Glory to God. So if you went and you didn't, I'm not calling you out individually. It's not because I'm trying to favor somebody. I just was thinking of that example. And if you didn't go, there's no condemnation. Because there's going to be a next time.
Yeah.
And yesterday doesn't exist. Just say, you know what? I'm going to be one of these people. I'm going to stink and dive right in.
Yeah.
I remember I was preaching. I told this story, but it's one that comes to me a lot when talking about this. There was a lady at the Jamestown Church that we had a Pillars of God group. It was a younger group. I think it was like for 48 years old and below. And there was a group for 40 and above. And I'm not trying to be discriminatory. They just had different groups and a youth group and stuff. And I was preaching at that group and I said, what if the tithing meant, what if the Bible's really true? I mean, what if the windows of heaven would really open up? What if we'd really be provided for and all the nations of the earth would look at the tither and call them blessed? What if that was true? What if tonight, I said, you just decided for once and for all, I'm going to tithe, come hell or high water, and if it doesn't work, I'm going to stand before Jesus, and I'm going to tell him, what's up with this?
Right, yeah.
What if God's really not a liar? And it struck a chord in this young lady's heart. And she came up to me months later in tears. She could hardly talk. It was one of those crying. One of those where it's hard to talk. That's how. And she's like, I was in that service and I did what you said.
Right.
I did what you said, which was the Bible.
Right.
And she started to list all the miracles that started coming in.
Praise
she said,
God.
I can't thank you. And I said, oh, God, thank me. Praise him.
Praise
yeah.
God.
But the point was, whatever it is you're going through, if it's, I will never go to a midweek service. I will never go to a guest minister service. Even though the Bible says you need those, because, you know, Brother Reverend Randy Greer stood in the office of a prophet. I don't stay in that office. He put something in my life this week.
Yeah.
He put something in my life that I can't get from my pastor.
Sure.
Yeah.
If it's, I'll never go to a guest, I'll never tithe. I'll never walk in love towards that person. I'll never forgive. I'll never do this or that. If it's in the Word, make up your mind. Say, I'm done with all that garbage. I'm done with it all. I'm just going to obey God. I rise and fall with Him. He's my blessing. He's my provider. He's my help. Glory to God. 2 Chronicles 16 and verse 9. A lot of utterance here today. It says in verse 9, we'll be done here in a second. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong in behalf of them whose heart is perfect towards him. Herein you have done foolishly, therefore from henceforth you'll have wars. So the Bible says that God's looking. He's not sitting back just, well, you know, people have the idea of, well, God's just dangling the carrot out there. No, he's looking to bless you. God is taking an active part in wanting to be a part of your life. And the Bible says he's looking all over earth to find someone. And it says here whose heart is perfect towards him. And we can hear that and our minds said, well, that just qualifies me.
Come on.
Right? And I always say this about perfection and that, you know, when you find that perfect church, right, don't forget this. Make sure that you stop going. Because you will ruin it for everyone.
Yeah.
Because it won't be perfect anymore if you don't.
Right.
Right? Same with me. If I find a perfect church, I better not go. What am I saying? There's no such thing.
Right.
There's no such thing. So the Bible's not telling you to be perfect. We ought to strive for that. Don't get offended at me. It was a joke. My goodness. But if you look at context, it's talking about a king who at one time trusted God and was delivered of a great problem. And then another thing came, and they started to look to men and rely on men. And God says, when you trusted me, I blessed you greatly. But when you didn't trust me, he said, now you're going to have wars. You open the door. See, when you try to do it yourself, when you try to make yourself wealthy, when you try to make your relationships work your way, when you try to raise your kids your way, when you try to do your business your way, you will have wars in life. It will be a constant struggle. You try to have a marriage your way, try to raise your kids your way, try to do your finances your way.
That's right.
God's ways are way better than your ways, way higher than your ways. And he says, basically in context, he's saying, I want to bless the one that will trust me. Well, the one that trusts God is the one that says, I see it, I'm going to do it. It's not convenient, and it trips my mind up a little bit, and it's a little uncomfortable, but you saved me. You know the same Bible that says that Jesus died on the cross for you, and that he gave his only begotten Son, that you won't perish but have everlasting life. That verse that you love so much because you're not going to have to go to hell and you get to go to heaven. That same God is the same God that said, give me your 10%. He's the same God that says, forgive the people that are unforgivable. He's the same God that says, go to church, put yourself under these. You can't pick and choose which parts of God you want. Because they're all wonderful. It's not our job to make God fit into our lives. No, he gets to just be completely Lord of our lives. And see, when you made Jesus your Savior, did you just make him your Savior? Or did you confess him as Lord? Because if you confessed him as Lord, that means you have to do what he says.
Good word.
Woo! Praise God. I don't mind preaching it because this will be your blessing. Because there's people here. I don't know what it is for you. There's people here I'm sitting in the service and the prophet of God says something. And I'm saying, I'm looking around, where's that person? That would have changed their life. Not there.
Right.
It happens all the time in these things. And God's trying to do something. People say, well, why doesn't God just speak to me at home? Because God already told you the word, get yourself under another ministry. We're so blessed, the caliber of ministry that come into this camp. Or you're on the verge, some of you are just, this tithing thing, just dive in. He's not trying to make you broke. See, the devil is lying to you. Remember, the Bible says the devil's the father of lies. And how does he work? In the thought realm. I remember one person, they were just terrified to come to church. They had a depression problem. They were so afraid to come to church. And before they would get ready for church, the devil would bombard them how terrible it would be, how people would be looking at them, how this and that.
Right.
And they'd come to church and they'd be crying, hugging me. And I shook them. I said, stop and listen. I said, now you see how the devil works. Everything that he told you didn't happen here today. You were blessed. You walked out of here happy. Everything the devil's telling you about tithing, about forgiving that person, about actually giving up a time to go to a midweek service, about going to guest minister meetings, whatever the word is, whatever you're not doing in the word, anything that the Lord's telling you to do or the devil's telling you to do, it's just a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell trying to keep you from what the blessing would be. Because the doing of God's word brings the blessing. And the devil will tell you a million reasons why not to tithe, why not to go, why not to forgive, why not to walk in love, why to do this or that. It's just a liar. God's looking to bless people. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God. Let's see here. We have a couple minutes. Genesis 22 and we'll quit. Genesis 22. I'm not going to be able to read this whole thing. It's important that we see this thought out. I'll do my best to get it going quick. Genesis 22. Praise the Lord. I hope people know my heart. Because the Bible tells me I'm to be an example to the flock. When I give you testimonies of stuff we've given or the percentage that we give, it's not to pat myself on the back. You're not my blesser. God is.
Amen.
He already knows that. I don't need to. But I do need to be an example. You know, weekends for me are crazy.
Sure.
And like, the reason I say this to you is because sometimes the devil will blow it up in your mind about midweek services, and even come to church faithfully on a Sunday, and even come to midweek. After this service here today, Reverend Scott's with me here, and I'm going to Olean, and I will be there probably until the middle of the morning hooking up the sound system for Olean, for the house of God. Not complaining about it at all, excited about it. But my point is that I'll do anything for the kingdom of God. Because I know the blessing.
Yeah.
That's not to pat myself on the back and don't think, well, I'm going to go there and help him. No, because you'll just be standing around looking at us.
Yeah.
I'm pretty much going to be standing around looking at him and just kind of being a little gopher boy to help him out. Me and Reverend Scott, it's like David and Goliath.
Yeah.
If you don't know what I'm talking about,
yeah.
Talk to him, you get a neck cramp. Praise God. But my point is doing anything for him, for the kingdom of God, doing anything the word says. Praise God. Genesis 22. Now I'm gonna paraphrase, so we don't have to take too much time. In Genesis 22, remember Isaac was the son that God promised Abraham when he was 75, and he got it when he was 100. The promised son that God that the covenant kept going through. And God told Isaac, Abraham, he said, "Take your son, your only son." I love how God even makes it harder for him. He says, "Take your son, your only son, whom you love." He like just points it out. I know how much you love him. And take him up onto the mountain and sacrifice him. Offer him there as a burnt offering for me.
Yeah.
So God's telling, the word of God is saying, take your son up and murder him. That's what God's word said. Now, we know the end of the story.
Right.
That God's not murdering God, and that God's intention never was to kill Isaac.
That's right.
Okay, so if you don't know the end of the story, think, I don't want anything to do with that God. Well, you got to read the rest of the story. So God tells him, go take your son and murder him. You know what Abraham does?
Come on.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
God told Abraham in Genesis 12, he said, leave your family and just start walking.
Yeah.
I'll show you. So I'll let you show you where to go. You know what he didn't say? Well, God, what about this? And what about this person? And what about that? And what about this situation? God said it.
Yeah.
He trusted him enough. I believe that's why God cut the covenants of Abraham.
Yeah.
Because the lineage of Jesus came out of, started with Abraham.
Yeah.
Because he knew Abraham would do anything he told him to do.
Yeah, right.
God is looking for someone that would do anything that he can go strongly through that person.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
So he tells him, go take your son, your only son whom you love, up on the mountain and sacrifice him up there. Now let's see what Abraham does. Genesis 22 in verse 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. That's called trust.
Yeah.
I can't even get in my mind to the place
right.
of laying Caleb on an altar. But see, Abraham knew God.
Amen.
And when you know God, you know he will never do anything to you to harm you.
Right.
He will never do anything that's not going to better your life.
Right.
Abraham knew something's going to have to give here today. Either God's going to have to change something or God's going to have to raise this boy from the dead in front of me because he would never, ever tell me to give my kid.
Right.
Just like when the thought comes about forgiving. Well, the devil's giving you, how can you forgive? They did this and that. If you'll just be a doer of the word on that,
amen.
The blessing that comes from it, praise
yeah.
God. And God wouldn't tell you to forgive somebody to make your life worse.
Right.
He wouldn't tell you to be a generous person. To try to make your life worse. He's trying to get you over the edge.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he said, and this actually was the thing that tipped the scales in Abraham's favor. He laid him on there, verse 10, and Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Why? That's what God said to do.
Right.
That's what God said to do. And the angel of the Lord called on him and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, here am I. Oh, thank you, Jesus. When I had that gun loaded in that Chevy Cavalier, the oil and gas boat in Frewsburg, this is the first time I've seen this. Scriptural evidence of God saving somebody's life right before they die.
Yeah.
Abraham about to kill his son, and the angel of the Lord said, stop, stop. I had that gun loaded in the middle of that car, and I had the music playing. I had a song on repeat. My mind was so twisted. I wanted people to find me with a certain song. And it was just playing over and over again. I had the gun, I cocked it, put it in my mouth, and a vision from God. A sign dropped through the roof of my car. How did it happen? I don't know. But it was a neon sign with a capital letter E spelled eternity with lowercase, and it flashed on and off. What was that? That was God saying, Mike!
Yeah.
Mike, don't do it!
Yeah.
Don't do it!
Yeah.
Abraham!
Yeah.
Thank you. That was, I don't know if that blessed you, but that just helped me. That really just helped me.
Thank
Praise God. You're so good. He said, here am I. And he said, don't lay your hand upon the lad. I call Caleb lad all the time. Do not anything unto him. He said, for now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me. See, now God's saying, you did everything for me. I know you're with me now, Abraham.
Amen.
You see, things go back to tithing a lot because the Bible said that money's attached to your heart. I didn't say that.
Right.
Money's a heart issue.
Yeah.
And when you're giving of your money and you're sacrificing, you're showing God, I'm with you.
Yeah.
Right.
I'm with
Amen.
You.
Yeah,
that's why a lot of times it's not because of anything else.
Yeah.
And he says, Abraham lifted up his eyes, verse 13, and looked, and behold, behind him there was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Now notice this. Abraham called the name of that place Jehovah Jireh, which in the Hebrew means the Lord will provide. As it is said to this day, in the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Verse 15, and the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time. Now get this. Remember, the hearing of the word is not the blessing. The doing of the word is where the blessing is. He says, verse 16, he said, by myself have I sworn, says the Lord, that because you've done this thing, what thing? Obeyed the word of God. And has not withheld your only son. Verse 17, in blessing I will bless you. There it is. There was that blessing waiting to be taken part of on the other side of the obedience to that word. What blessing has been withheld from your life just waiting for you to cross that threshold? What if Pastor Mike, who you can trust, who's preaching the Bible, tells you, hey, we have a guest minister meeting coming up. He's going to be there for 5 days. You're going to be blessed. I promise you'll be so thankful.
Yeah.
You went, what if you finally said, you know what? I'm really going to do it. What is waiting for you?
Yeah.
What if you'll actually tithe? What if you'll actually walk in love?
Yeah.
I'm excited for you.
Yeah.
What's on the other side of that obedience? I don't know, but it's good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
It's so good.
Yeah.
On the other side of that obedience, it's so good. Glory to God. He said, in blessing, I'll bless you. In multiplying, and you're thinking, you preached that because of the service. No, I was actually very, very pleased with how many people came out Wednesday night. It just did my heart so good. And we will strive for more, but praise God. That's not why I'm preaching this message. Actually, I didn't know what I was going to preach this message till 6 o'clock this morning. Lord, I got up early. I knew to get up early and had some things rolling in my heart, and Lord gave this to me. But in blessing, I will bless you. Multiplying, I will multiply you as the seed, as the stars of the heaven, as the sand which is upon the seashore. Thy seed, oh, you're going to like this, shall possess the gate of your enemies. What's he saying? Your kids are going to be blessed. Your offspring are going to benefit from you doing the word of God. I don't know how much clearer I can say that. See, when you obey God, your kids who can't believe God on their own get the benefit.
Yeah.
They get the soft over blessing from mommy and daddy doing the right thing.
Yeah.
And if it's just mommy, mommy's just doing the right thing. They'll get the blessing.
Right.
If it's just a daddy situation, daddy will do the word and they'll get the blessing. Praise God.
Right.
But it doesn't have to be mommy and daddy. I'm saying if mommy and daddy are there, be doers of the word. If you're just a mommy, be a doer of the word. Just a daddy, be a doer of the word. Why? Because it'll bless your children. I think that's motivation enough for me right there. But he said, I'll bless you, Abraham. I'll bless your kids. Verse 18, and in your seed all nations of the earth shall be blessed. So not only did it affect Abraham and his children, it affected the outside world. Because you have obeyed, because you have obeyed, because you have obeyed. You're going to be able to say, I got this blessing because I obeyed. I finally walked into what I've been wanting to walk into because I obeyed.
Yeah.
I obeyed. I obeyed.
Yeah.
I trusted God. God's a God of faith. It does not please Him when you're not faith. And when you hear the word and fear starts coming in, telling you don't do that, whatever it is, whether it's church attendance, whether it's money, whether it's walking in love, whether it's anything, and you don't do it, that does not please God. It pleases God when someone says, the Bible said it. That settles it. The Bible said it. That settles it. I'm not going to concur with my finances. I'm not going to concur with my spouse. I'm not going to concur with my friends. I'm not going to concur with grandpa, TV ministry. The Bible says it. That settles it.
Amen.
Let's pray. Father, we love you. We bless you, Lord. It's never your intention to hurt us, even when it seems like it. Father, it seemed like you wanted to hurt Isaac. It seemed that way on the surface, but you didn't.
Father, when you tell us to love somebody that's unlovable and that's hurt us, that seems like you're trying to hurt us. It seems like you're trying to justify what they've done. But it's not. You're just trying to get us somewhere.
Father, when you tell us to avail ourselves to these other ministry gifts that can bless us, it seems like you're trying to cause problems for us, that you're trying to make it so we have to give up nights and give up our TV shows and maybe put a little extra money in our gas tank and come up to it. It seems that way on the surface, but Father, we know you. That's not the way you are. You're only trying to get good in our lives. Father, it seems with the tithing and the giving message that you're trying to take from us. On the surface, it seems that way. Lord, how? It seems like, how, don't you understand what the economy's like? Don't you understand? But Father, we know it's only because there's something good on the other side of that obedience. Father, I pray that everybody would be a doer of the word. Father, that everybody would hear your word and obey your voice, Father. You love them. You're not trying to steer them into wrong things. You're not trying to steer them into trouble. You're trying to steer them into the best blessing. Father, the blessing that they don't even know that is theirs yet. So, Father, encourage people. Help them, Lord. We bless you today, Father. We thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your goodness. The greatest thing you ever did to us was sending Jesus. You made it simple, Father. We don't have to pay for it. We don't have to beg for it. We don't have to be perfect before we get it. You said if we call on Jesus, we'd be saved from our sins. We'd be saved from eternal damnation. We'd get to go to heaven. It's just a simple crying out to him. And so, Father, right now, if there's anybody under the sound of my voice, whether you can hear this on the internet or whether you're in this building and you can say, I don't know if I'd go to heaven. I'm not sure I've made Jesus the Lord of my life. Ask yourself that question. Where would I go if today was my last day? If you can't answer heaven, I'm here to tell you it's free, it's simple. All you have to do is pray a prayer with us. We're not going to call you to the front. We're not going to embarrass you. We won't have you stand up. But if you want to receive Jesus and know for sure you're going to heaven, now if you've already done this and you had a bad week or a bad day or a bad year, just repent. But if you've never said for once and for all, I want Jesus, then this prayer is for you. With heads bowed, eyes closed, if there's anybody that wants to pray that prayer today, would you just raise your hand if there's anybody that's never done that? Anybody at all? Lord, I don't see any hands in the service. But if by chance someone here or listening by live stream has never received you as Lord and Savior, I pray that they would not pass from this life till they've made Jesus the Lord of their life, Father, and receive eternity. Father, we love you. We give you praise and glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Having church Wednesday night, 6:30. Have an awesome rest of the weekend. You are dismissed.
Change your mind. All that you say is what you do. All that you promise, you're seeing through. So we wait. Separate.